Hi, it's Robert Cuffley. You are listening to After the Credits in Row3.com.
Welcome to the June preview of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Maureen Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen from the Many Deaths of Sean Bean podcast.
That will eventually exist, right?
Probably not.
Whatever.
Dale from Over 40 in Vancouver.
Are we actually going to get a link to this podcast?
I have to find it. It's on Audioboo. Maybe we're Googleable. And each for all, the cooperative connection on Co-op Radio.
Yeah, he goes on holidays and works. Unbelievable. I still can't believe this. And joined today by a very special guest.
I'm Sarah. I just showed up.
Yeah, she was just walking down the street. She's wearing a Star Trek t-shirt. We're like, hey, you want to join us for the podcast?
Hey, you. You want to be famous?
Yeah.
In a limited sense of famous?
I'm actually surprised. If you were wearing, like, your Ninja Turtles hat, then I could have gone. And she's wearing a Ninja Turtles hat, so, you know, we totally had to have her on. But you do have, like, permanent ink of the turtles on your legs. So, you know, it kind of counts.
If I'm wearing shorts, always Ninja Turtles. I am wearing shorts.
She is wearing shorts.
What is that expression? Turtles all the way down?
Oh, that sounds real. I don't know what that is, but that did not sound good.
No?
Yeah. Oh, God. What was that from?
A legend, a creation legend.
Yeah.
Turtle on the back of a turtle on the... Anyway.
Okay, yeah,
If you search Tumblr for, like, turtle things, you could probably find something like that.
Well, yeah, apparently yesterday
the
was
the disc,
like,
world universe is the world is a disc on top of the back of
four elephants.
The fifth elephant actually crashed into the disc and made fatty deposits of some region I can't remember, and on top of the those elephants, the four elephants holding up the disc world are on the back of the great Atuan Space turtle. Yeah.
Wow.
But that's from something else entirely, too. He took that off of something.
This is quite informative. Thank you.
What can I say? I like Discworld.
This works.
I would go there if I could. I joined the guard.
Mr. Pratchett, rest in peace.
Yes, that is true. Okay, we are here to talk movies, we think. The June preview specifically. Let's jump right in. Why not? June 5th. Entourage the movie. Cricket.
This is where you insert cricket sounds.
I never watched the TV show, so this movie is. I did in the trailer, though, they had a cameo with Warren Buffett.
Which got your attention?
Like, holy crap. I might almost want to watch the movie just to see what that's all about.
The only reason I want to see it, I think it's Jeremy Piven, who is the agent. I always screw up that guy's name. For some reason, keep on thinking his name is Steve. But Jeremy Piven. I would kind of want to see it just for him, like, because I enjoy him
losing
acting
his shit.
All fucking aggro kind of thing. But other than that, I have no interest or no care about any of these people.
Do you watch Mr. Selfridge?
Yes.
That's
I do.
Good. Yeah, he's pretty good in that.
I watched Entourage, like, not all of it, but I definitely went through downloading some of the, like, seasons or something a long time ago and watched a great deal of it. So I would want to go see it just to kind of go back there, because they're bringing a lot of people back who weren't even very important to begin with. So everyone's showing up again. Do I want to see it in a theater?
Is it six seasons in a movie?
Okay, well, this is my interest in Entourage. Dan and I watch Wahlburgers, and Entourage is created by Mark Wahlberg, famously based on the misadventures of his early career. And really, my interest in Entourage is the fact that I like Mark Wahlberg.
Well,
that's the best scene in the actual trailer.
Is that his real entourage? I suspect it is.
The guys that are with him, they are members of his real entourage.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. So. But I mean, even the like the guys that are on the show, like if you ever watched an episode of Wahlburgers, which I assume you don't, he like there's a bunch of the guys that were in his entourage and still are constantly showing up on the show, which is what makes the show really, really funny because they're like ridiculous. And the fact that he's still friends with these people like all these years later is kind of awesome.
That's nice.
Like it's
yeah.
super endearing. And that's really my only interest in the movie is because, well, I've kind of seen the real people on TV. Sure, why not? And Dan thinks it looks kind of funny, so whatever. It's hard enough to get him out to the movies. If he wants to see something, I'm going to go, honestly.
I think I'll pass on this one.
Hard pass?
Not a soft pass, but pass.
Okay, how about Spy? Melissa McCarthy.
This was pushed back a month. We talked about this.
Yeah, it was pushed back.
Was it last month or the month before? How far back
was
it?
It might have been the month before. I don't remember now. They're doing like tons of like preview screenings. They've been preview screening this like out the wazoo.
They didn't like recut it or anything, did they?
Don't think so. I think they're just building momentum.
Okay.
Is there any momentum to be built?
I don't know. I think it looks funny.
I want to take a chance on it, yeah. I mean, it had that, God, do people want to hear my opinion again? Maybe
yes,
not. But
maybe they didn't hear it the first time.
It looks risky in terms of them going too far and like killing the jokes to death or doing the jokes to death. That's my only concern about it. But it did look like it was going to play with some stereotypes, which I always love. So yeah, I'm eagerly anticipating it.
Every time I see the trailer and there's the joke about the why anybody put a roof on a scooter, I don't know why, but it makes me laugh every single time. Every time, I don't know why.
I'm excited for Allison Janning being her boss. Just that alone.
She's amazing. And it is like,
Have
I preached Mom to you guys? Mom is like the greatest fucking show on TV.
I watched the first season of Mom. I really liked it. And definitely.
How is this show still on TV?
Allison Janney made that work. I mean, I forget what the main actress's name is.
Anna Faris.
Anna Faris. I root for Anna Faris, but she's not a great actress.
No, but she has good comedic timing. She's a really good physical comedian is my take, actually.
Yeah, physical comedian, maybe. She just really can't act some of the scenes the way...
It's a little more dramatic than she has
range
for.
And thank God that there's like just a fantastic supporting cast.
I love that show.
Around her.
Love it.
I should watch it.
Oh, it's really good. And the fact that it's on TV and they're talking about like real issues in a way that's like not always flattering is really great.
It could have almost been the next Roseanne, really.
Almost. Yeah, not quite.
No, it just didn't have the talent to...
Yeah, but it's certainly good. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, anyway,
it.
but
really enjoy it.
Allison Janney...
In everything.
Everything she's ever been in, you're just like... Wow, you're doing it.
Yeah,
you're doing it again. You just
she did win an Emmy.
Owned that character.
She's won multiple Emmys for multiple things. Actually,
this is why, because she's awesome.
She was in Weeds once, or I was watching Weeds once, and I'm like, this show is great. The thing that would make this show better if Allison Janney just showed up,
and
the next episode she showed up. So perfect.
That's the way we roll. I totally planned that in advance too, you know, just for the record. Also opening on the 5th, Insidious Chapter 3.
I think this got pushed too.
Yeah, I vaguely remember us talking about this before, did we not?
Yeah.
Like 2 months ago?
I'm pretty sure.
Or it's just the same old.
Or it just feels just the same.
Well, this is the other.
Paranormal Activity,
this
Insidious.
Is
all right.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested. Do we even care what it's about?
I am so done with jump scare horror films. Like they're,
but this is a prequel, man. It's how it all got started.
Wow, the origin story for a story I don't give a shit about. Lovely.
It's a one preview that I decided to actually skip. I'm like, it's scary. Never mind.
Moving on. It's not really that scary. It just pretends to be. Okay, June 12th, Jurassic World. Go for it, Colleen. You have things to say, I can tell.
Okay, yay, because I like dinosaurs quite a bit. But did I hallucinate it, but did Chris Pratt lead velociraptors into battle on
yes,
the motorbike?
He did.
Yes,
okay,
he did.
I'm so in, I can't even tell you. I thought I might have hallucinated.
No, that was real.
Okay,
it wasn't the truth.
Jurassic World looks like exactly the same storyline as the original one. It's like we mess with DNA and we suffer for it.
Yep.
Except instead of a very cheery kind of scientific, isn't this great kind of thing. It's a very cynical corporate kind of thing.
With Chris Pratt.
Really. With Chris
also,
Pratt.
The park in the first one wasn't open to the public quite yet. So it was a limited body count.
Right.
This is significantly higher.
Yeah, this is like brunch for dinosaurs.
I'm hoping they have like the kill count screen that keeps them in the corner. You know, like that, Lethal Weapon 33.
That would have made me interested in this movie. I mean, even with Chris Pratt, I'm like, oh, this is kind of like all been done. And I just don't see anything that hooks me for...
For me, it
giant
was
dinosaurs, dude.
Him leading velociraptors into battle is
on
enough.
A motorcycle.
You know,
before that, I was sort of like, yeah.
If that was the film, if it was kind of, I mean, I have no idea what the plot is. Hopefully, this isn't the plot. But
if we've
created intelligent dinosaurs and one of them turns out to be
that's not the point.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, one of them is not on your side.
One of them is definitely not on our side. Yeah.
It's the plot that you might expect.
But, you know, like, that would have kind of got me interested,
you know what's
too.
Weird? I knew this movie was coming, and it's hard to avoid. I didn't realize who directed it. It was just sort of this thing that I never even considered. But, Colin Trevorrow directed Safety Not Guaranteed, which is fucking awesome.
That was a great movie, yeah.
Yeah. How did he get the billing to do Jurassic World?
Really?
Like, so I'm expecting, like, that maybe it's funnier than the trailer is leading on.
My favorite meme about this movie so far is the fact that Chris Pratt is drift compatible with raptors.
Anything with Chris Pratt at this point is fair game. I'm totally hooked. I'm excited. I think it looks like fun. It is what it is.
Velociraptor, the black lab of the dinosaur world.
Nice.
Eventually.
That just happened here, people. That just happened.
It just wants to please so badly.
It just wants to play.
I want to sound.
Squirrel! Throw the ball. Just throw the ball. If you don't throw the ball, I'll rip your face off.
I want a Samuel cameo so bad in this movie to just be like, are you fucking kidding? Like, I just want him to say that and just, that's all he does.
He does, and he goes away.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's a green screen background, obvious. It's like, just cut it. Are you fucking kidding me? Go back to their film. Yes.
Why would you go back?
Okay, this might actually be genius. Hopefully somebody's listening and can make it happen. They still have like 3 weeks. Also opening on the 12th, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, which Sarah has seen.
I have seen this movie. This is an awesome movie that's actually not a teenager movie that's incredibly cliched, which was great.
So it's about two friends who are kind of like, well, one friend is kind of like coerced in a way to be friends with this girl who's dying of cancer.
It's not even two friends. It's basically this guy's mom is like, hey, so this girl that you know in school that they're not friends, she's dying of cancer. I think you should go and, you know, spend time with her. So, like, he shows up.
Thanks, mom.
And kind of has a friendship with this girl. And then his best friend and him make movies kind of on the side that are complete ripoffs of classic movies with way more interesting titles.
Be Kind, Rewind, Sweden.
Yeah.
It is really like that movie. So it's a really charming movie. Like,
now
really
I'm kind of interested
it.
In that because the trailer just looked like we're just going to try and press buttons, pull on the heartstrings, and it was so damn clumsy obvious. I'm like, oh, this is the movie.
I love Olivia Cooke. She's on Bates Motel, not enough. She needs to be on that show like every
single
episode.
She's the ventilator girl?
Yeah, she's fucking awesome. Pretty much the only reason for me to see this movie is
the trailer does not actually do this movie justice.
That's what everybody seems to say. Everybody says it's
And if you're a fan of classic movies at all, like, it's definitely something to even, like, they're not going to show you everything, but like, I kind of just want to pause it to see all the, like, they have a shelf of all the movies that they've made to just look at all the titles that they've totally, like, screwed up.
So recommended?
Yes. Please go see that movie.
There we go. Opens on the 12th. Also opening on the 12th, I think in limited release, The Wolfpack. Really fascinating documentary about a family that has basically shut in their, I don't even know how many kids there are. six, I think.
Five or six
boys.
I had to Google this to see if it was true, and it's apparently true.
Yeah, it is. And it's basically like these kids are now out in the world, and they are sharing their story about growing up in like this small apartment in the middle of the city. They didn't really, they knew there was an outside, but they'd never gone out there. It looks fascinating.
It
or they
does.
Have to go out once, what is it, once a year?
Once a year, yeah. And then 1 year they didn't go out at all.
Yeah. It's just, it's bizarre.
Yeah, it really is totally bizarre, the fact that they could get away with it, and the fact that the kids aren't, like, way messed up.
Mm-hmm.
So, or yeah, they were homeschooled, and they were locked in the room, and...
Well, and this
but,
was...
But they did get to look at, like, media.
Yeah. Well, and that was, I think, the most interesting part of the trailer for me was when one of the brothers was saying, you know, until we got old enough where we realized we could say no and that we could actually, like, he couldn't keep us under control anymore. And I thought, well, that's really fascinating. How old were you when that happened?
Yeah.
So it looks like a really great sort of, I love these sort of truth, stranger than fiction tales.
I'm quite interested in seeing this, but I don't think I want to see it in a theater.
Yeah, no, I have no interest in going to a theater to see it, but I'm certainly very curious.
And I must admit, until I found out it was real, I was totally like, but
is this, are they putting me on?
Yeah, I just didn't. But the fact that it's real, it's like, oh God, now I'm fascinated. Like, holy crap. And the fact that it's interesting too, because obviously these are really creative guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they had to find an outlet for it, yeah. and they did.
And really articulate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say about it. I watched it and went, what did I just watch?
I've seen the trailer more than once, because I actually watched the trailer when Entertainment Weekly was like, hey, watch this trailer. And then it was on the list for this.
Yeah.
But, would make an interesting double bill with me and Earl and the Dying Girl with all the homemade movies.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Sort of a weird but interesting double bill for
and
sure.
And Be Kind Rewind.
Yeah, there you go. Triple bill. Moving on to June the 19th and the movie that will make you cry. Pete Docter's at it again. Inside Out, the newest...
Pixar movie, right?
Yeah, I think it's the Pixar offering that killed at Cannes. Did really well.
Yeah,
everybody that's seen it says they cry uncontrollably.
About a girl, well, something that you could really only do in cartoons, or
yeah.
maybe best done in cartoons, but five characters play the girl's inside thought processes.
Yeah.
And she's got depression, and it kind of explores that whole thing. And yeah, I got to see this one.
I heard Pete Docter do an interview, or maybe I read an interview with him, and he was talking about the synthesis for this movie. And he was talking about how he had his daughter went through this phase where she was like small and happy and charming and always, you know. And then she turned 12, and all of a sudden she was depressed all the time. He's like, and I needed to figure out what was going on in her mind to make the little girl that I remember into this like preteen that was like not the girl I remember.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really fascinating. It looks amazing. I don't know. What can you say? It's the next up, I guess. It'll make you cry.
I want it now.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one.
I think it might be bigger than Up, actually. It kind of feels that way. Up had nowhere near this kind of
momentum going in.
Yeah.
But then again, like, the marketing campaign for this movie has been really kind of fascinating, because every trailer that I've seen for it, and all the trailers are really different from the next trailer.
Yeah.
And they were able to also team it up with Avengers. Like, the emotions watching the Avengers trailer is really funny.
Yeah. It looks great. I'm very excited to check this one out.
No, thanks.
I know animated isn't
it's not really my thing.
But every once in a while, he surprises us. So, you know, I always look over there.
Yeah. No, this time I think I'm going to pass.
Okay.
Soft pass.
Dope, also opening on the 19th. Okay, I had a hard time figuring out if this was a period movie or not. The fact where I watched the trailer like 3 times, it's not period.
They've nailed it, though.
They totally have.
Because
I'm like, okay, is this really the 90s, or am I imagining things? And then I looked at the computer monitors, and I'm like, yeah, no, that's not the 90s. There are no cell phones visibly in the trailer, but like, you'd be hard-pressed to say that was not a period movie from the way the kids are dressed. But nope, not a period movie. looks freaking awesome.
It does. I want to see it.
I'm game. So I'm totally game. So it's a drama about a kid that has come into some weird ways to some pot, and he needs to get rid of it. Shit happens. Hence why it's called dope.
The scene where someone goes, do you even know what the slippery slope is?
Oh, yeah.
Does the actual textbook definition, and halfway through he realizes, I shouldn't have started talking. And he slowly starts slowing down as everyone's just staring at him. Yeah, I've been there.
Relating.
Yes.
Oh, it looks fantastic. I can't wait. And you know what's funny? I actually know somebody that kind of dresses exactly like this. I'm like, dude, have you seen this trailer? This is you on the big screen. It's a little bit scary.
We had a guy at my work that when he first started, he totally looked like someone right out of like Brady Bunch casting extra. Like could have walked right into the role kind of thing. And by the time he left, he was actually starting to look like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like it was the weirdest transition. Like,
dude, he aged decades in front of you.
It's like 1998. Like, what the hell?
Let him be in
De La Soul called and they want their clothing back.
Did he even get the reference? Please tell me he got the reference. Tell me he got the reference.
No.
Of course not. They never do. Also opening on the 19th, Infinitely Polar Bear, Mark Ruffalo killing it. As a man who is manic depressive, Zoe Saldana also stars as his wife. Played really, really well at VIFF. I kind of skipped that because I figured it would come back. It's taken longer than I thought it would, considering how well received it was. Looks good.
Yeah.
It's Mark Ruffalo. I'll pretty much watch anything.
Yeah, it looked good. It's not my kind of film. Like, I doubt I'll ever see it kind of thing, but it didn't look glaringly bad. Just not my thing. It's just not my thing.
Indie darling.
Yeah.
I feel like it's Mr. Mom for, like, the new generation or something.
Mr. Mom, oh, God. Well, it kind of does have that vibe going for it, that's for sure. Also opening on the 19th, Manglehorn, Al Pacino being all, like, Al Pacino-like.
Was this written for him to be just himself?
Like, probably.
We've written a script which we think will just be very easy for you to just roll with.
I don't know how David Gordon Green comes up with the stories, but it could very well be it. He could have gone, well, you know, I want to work with Al Pacino. I'll write him a story.
I was so confused.
I know.
I don't know what the hell's going on there.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of straightforward.
He's delusional? He's like in La La Land writing to an imaginary friend he thinks he's in love?
Well, she's not imaginary.
We don't think.
I totally didn't think she was imaginary.
I don't know. I just...
No, that's an interesting twist on
maybe I'll have
events.
To like watch a different trailer or rewatch the other trailer.
I don't know.
It just looked like a conversation I wouldn't have wanted to been at that table with.
Yeah.
Everything
about that movie felt like that.
I don't want to be here. I don't want to be around you people. You people are dull and somewhat depressing, and I'm going to walk away from you now. Bye.
Pretty much. But Gordon Green has been on a bit of a roll lately. I'm curious. Not something I'm going to rush out to see, but I'm always up for a good Al Pacino flick. Also opening on the 19th, The Overnight. Okay, I'm having serious, like, mixed emotions about this. Directed by the guy that directed Wolf Creek, which right there, like, gives me one mental idea. So, you know, I'm looking for the trailer and I'm like, no, this can't be
brutal
it.
Brutal killing? No, that doesn't
This is
seem right.
totally not what this is. What the fuck is going on? And, of course, it doesn't help, like, the top billing cast isn't actually, like, the top billing cast, which I don't understand either. So, Taylor Schilling... Jason Schwartzman, Adam Scott, and Sarah DeVincentis star. They're like two couples that have, they get together one night.
They meet on the playground where their kids are getting along fine and go, why don't we just come over and just make it a day?
Yeah. More than just a play date is what they're getting at. Play date for adults.
Yep.
I thought it was going to be a horror movie like when I started the trailer.
It has shades
of
that.
Oh, totally. Like the orphanage. Like, who are you going to walk into here? Who's going to have the bag over their head acting like a scarecrow?
Hence why I was like, where are the knives and the skinnings? This is from the guy that gave us Wolf fucking Creek.
Let's look. You want to see my collection of lampshades? They're made out of human flesh. See the tattoos?
And maybe that's still there. We just don't know.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. It is billed as a comedy. I don't know. It could be fun. Yeah, comedy.
I want to see it on like Netflix where I can go like watch it for like 5 minutes, go, dear God, no, and then turn it off.
Oh, here's one we should do that too. World over. June 26th. Ted 2. Why?
I don't know. This looks kind of funny.
Oh, no.
I like Ted.
I liked the first one, too. It doesn't mean I need a sequel. Where Ted, the teddy bear, wants to have babies?
Yeah.
He finds out he's not considered an actual being.
Please.
It's like teddy bears.
It's like an episode of Star Trek, only really messed up.
It's a really messed up episode of Family Guy.
Instead of Data, we have a teddy bear.
Actually, the whole sperm falling down, I think that was from Family Guy.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
It was from an episode of Family Guy.
Nice.
Yeah, like I didn't even in the first one. I mean, there was a bunch of jokes that I wouldn't have been minded being cut out. But
the Flash Gordon bit in the first one was so awesome.
But there was
so genius.
I mean, I'll say this for a sequel: like they did find at least a concept that is
ridiculous.
That's
enough.
A different, like that isn't just rehashing the first one.
Yeah,
it's
ridiculous in its own right.
And that's always the problem with sequels. They can't retell the original story because it's kind of an origin story.
Yeah.
And they come up with something that's so lame ass, you're, ugh.
At least, yeah, I'll give you that.
So the concept is good.
Yeah, I could go with that. I don't know. I don't know if it looks funny, but.
Well, yeah.
It's Seth MacFarlane. It's hard to tell sometimes.
Seth MacFarlane is so hidden. Like, I've given up on Family Guy a long time ago, but
it has its moments.
The first few seasons were brilliant.
It's almost like hate watching that show.
Yeah.
Because Dan still likes it, and I just kind of zone out. And sometimes it's really, really funny, and sometimes it's just not.
Well, it's like watching Archer. You watch season 1, 2, 3, skip 4, and go right to 5.
Yeah.
Is 4 the Vice one?
Yes, yeah. Archer yeah. Vice. It's yeah. pretty weak.
Yeah, that's what everybody kind of said.
The thing with Family Guy and actually Archer to some extent is, used to be there were a lot of limits to push. I feel like the things that you can push now, like it's gotten pretty big.
Yeah.
And some of the places they go to push the limits, yeah, okay, no, that's not where I want them pushed. I'm okay with the limit being there.
Yeah. It got a little too far. It is possible to go too far. Also opening on the 26th. The movie that made me cry. I fucking hate trailers about dogs. Max. Movies with dogs, man. I've gotten to the point now where I can't watch them because the whole time I'm like, they're going to hurt the dog and then I'm going to have to, like, I'm going to cry and it's going to be terrible and I just don't want to deal with that. This trailer kind of had that going for me. So it's about a dog that was in the military. His handler died. They give the dog to the family because they think it'll help the family cope.
And the dog has PTSD.
It's just the whole thing is just fucking depressing. The trailer totally made me bawl. So yeah, I won't be seeing this.
The trailer definitely knew how to play with the emotions.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah,
I'm so not going there. The trailer was enough manipulation for me. I don't need any more.
I am kind of interested in the movie though. I mean, which is really weird because when I read the description, it's like, okay, this is going to be too Hallmark the wrong way for me.
No.
But after the trailer, I'm like, I think I might be able to watch this, but. Yeah, it's going to be a line. It could go off the rails really badly, really quick.
I'm going to give it a big hard pass and just watch countless episodes of Littlest Hobo.
Yeah.
Yes. This is the theme every time there's
it's
a...
It's the refrain. I'm going to watch Littlest Hobo.
Because
maybe tomorrow I'll want to settle down. But until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on.
And is there anything left like in the movie that wasn't in the trailer that you... Like, I feel like the entire movie is there in about 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Probably. And you can cry, and then so you've kind of seen the movie. You're good.
Pretty much. Yes. That's how I'm feeling. I've seen enough. Also opening on the 26th, big game.
This is awesome. Where was this
seriously?
Hiding? Yeah. This looks hilarious.
Me. Oh, it's fucking terrible. But...
Samuel Jackson probably made this on the air.
Most likely. So from the guy that brought us Rare Exports, which was actually kind of fun. Samuel L. Jackson plays the president of the United States who gets his airplane gets shot down or some such bullshit over like Norway or something. I don't even know.
Finland.
Finland.
That whole scene of the plane going down is very Escape from New York. Like the pod coming out. And
yes, yes, yes. I mean, it does look like it could have its moments. It's just Samuel L. Jackson being Samuel L. Jackson just has zero appeal for me.
But I mean,
I am so done with that guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm not actually, I could care less about Samuel L. Jackson. I just love the fact that there's this, like, what, Swedish kid or Finnish kid that with the bow and arrow.
Oh, this looks kind of cool.
Protecting the president. Like,
see,
the concept is cool.
I'm going to skip this and I'm going to hunt down my copy of Phil the Alien, where the kid finds the alien and basically protects the alien while people are hunting him down.
We should mark this because I think it's been at least 2 years since Phil the Alien has come up in conversation.
Phil the Alien should be discussed much more frequently.
I agree
with you because moving stuff with your mind is the fucking coolest thing in the world.
And Lohit Mall has never looked the same.
I still can't believe that.
I know.
It's crazy.
Oh, that movie. Also on the 26th, The Outskirts. Okay, so I couldn't find a trailer for this.
Neither could I.
Me too.
It said November, like on the...
Yeah, the distribution said November 2015. November.
Okay, so should we just skip it for now since there was no trailer? Okay, we'll leave this one off the list. Moving on, Bat Kid Begins. Do we really need the subtitle? Probably not. It's a documentary about Bat Kid. I bawled my eyes while watching the trailer. Don't know what else to say.
I
watched the news when it came out. Yeah. And I think I'm pretty much covered on the story.
I thought it was really awesome what they did for the kid. I don't feel like I need to watch a documentary about it.
Honestly, I think this is great so that like the family has the story and everything in one place so that for all time, it's there for them, but you know what? I'm not sure it needed to be made.
I thought the trailer was quite nice. I just really have no interest in watching it.
Yeah,
I've cried.
This was covered
week.
Well by every news source in North America, at least nonstop for days.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah.
Anything to add, Sarah?
No.
Kid got sick. We did something nice for kid. Moving on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we know if the kid's actually like okay?
I actually
like, does anyone...
I actually don't know.
Is Bat Kid dead?
I thought he was terminal. That's what I remember was he was terminal.
Went into remission because he's such a badass.
Could be.
Batman man.
Badass.
Batman cures cancer. You heard it here first.
Maybe Dale should look
was
that up for us.
Okay, that might have been totally improper. My apologies.
Oh, that's nowhere near the most improper thing I've said this week.
Moving on. The Little Death. I'm still not sure why this is called this, but a comedy about people and their strange sexual desires.
The title?
Yeah.
Actually, orgasms. One of the nicknames for an orgasm is the Little Death.
Well, that's actually what the French translated. The French word le petit mort is the French word for
seriously
orgasm.
Well,
yeah.
Basically, then roll over and go to sleep.
I think it was also a Shakespeare thing of like how he kind of
got around the censors.
Yeah,
that makes more sense to me.
I'm super excited. I really love the trailer for this.
Yeah, I quite like the trailer as well. It looks like it could be kind of fun.
That kid is in remission.
Oh, see? Kid is in remission.
See?
Update here.
All that work. See, every kid now should be Batman, and everyone should go out and actually, because
they should be Superman. He's cooler. Sorry about that.
Screw that. Ant-Man all the way, man. Ant-Man.
Oh, only
and
if
not,
it's...
not Harold Pym, Scott Lang.
Okay, Ant-Man. Sure.
I've become obsessed with that comic book.
Yes, I knew you're reading the new Ant-Man.
You know, I actually followed that.
This Hooray! Is good. Somebody's got to.
My obscure references.
I'm just like whatever. It's Paul Rudd. I'm game. And wrapping up the month. Okay, where did this come from? I had no idea this story existed. A Murder in the Park. So in 99, guy is about to get killed for some crimes that he committed. A law class led by some expert on people that are like wrongfully incarcerated come out and say he's not responsible. We have all this evidence to prove that he's innocent. Last minute stay of execution. They let the guy go. He's free now. They take some other guy to prison saying he did it. Turns out that the guy that was in jail that they were going to kill the first time is actually the murderer. It's like a total clusterfuck.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I cannot wait to see this. I need to know more. But, I read the entire Wikipedia entry.
What the description says is the filmmaker presents strong evidence. So clearly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is the thing.
Maybe this will be the next episode of Serial, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Have you caught up on Serial?
No.
Holy shit, man. Make it a priority.
Convert.
Wow.
Wow. It takes a subject that should be mind-numbingly tedious and have you going, holy shit, next episode, please, thank you.
Yeah, imagine trying to listen to that shit as it airs.
Yeah, but just Serial. Don't listen to any of the other ones discussing crap. No. They're boring as hell. But you know what? The Serial actual is awesome. Serial? Wow.
Did I give you the link to the post stories?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, and that's the month.
Dun, 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 dun. I'm going to, before we move on, do a complaint against IMDb. IMDb?
Oh, yes.
You forced me to watch a commercial between every trailer I watched. Every single time I had to watch a 30-second trailer. And if that wasn't bad enough, it was for the same film. Commercial. For the film Aloha. Like, if it was Mad Max, at least it would kind of kick ass. But you did a shitty film commercial, which I had to watch approximately 30 times this morning. So, IMDb, I hate you at the moment.
So, does that mean you're going to go see Aloha?
No, not at all. I knew I wasn't going the first time I saw it last month when we talked about it.
Ad fail.
So I didn't have that problem. Actually, like
I didn't have
the advertisement for trailer
every single time.
They know about you.
30 seconds watching the same freaking trailer for Aloha. It was like, and you know what? I quit the podcast game. I'm out. I have to do this, I'm out.
No. I usually use YouTube because I find the IMDb trailers a little really slow at the office. So I have a really slow internet connection.
I watch them in bed on my tablet. So I'm just like click. And have
it's more convenient to have them
30 odd windows open and just next.
Makes sense. But yeah, so I usually watch them on YouTube. So the commercials are all different. Still commercials. Okay, so the deal before we get into the sort of local monthly screenings, it's like, we're recording this like a week early, so a lot of the schedule isn't up yet. So on the website at row3.com, we'll have links to the actual like theater websites, and they usually update them probably the week that the show goes live. So you might want to check them out. But we do have a couple of things to sort of mention at the Van City Theater, and I think we talked about some of these at the last podcast.
We did.
They sort of started
at
the end of May. So when Marnie was here, this is the most likely last film from Studio Ghibli, screening May the 29th, June the 6th, and they have two screenings that are dubbed, the rest are all subtitled. So May 31st and June 2nd screening are the dubbed versions, otherwise in Japanese with English subtitles. They're also screening Iris, Albert Maisel's last film, playing May 29th to June the 11th, and then Sunshine Superman about skydiver Carl Bonisch, who is notably the creator of base jumping. Looks like it could be fun, playing June 5th to the 10th. At the Cinematheque, the Apu trilogy, this is Stanjit Ray's classic trilogy. I'm not very familiar with his work. He's a really well respected and notable Indian filmmaker. They're showing those June 5th to the 9th. Apparently, it's the first time they've been shown in Vancouver since 97, and they're newly translated and brand new prints. So that should be great for classic film fans. The Frames of Mind series, 0.08 Amps of Happiness, a documentary about electroshock therapy, basically, which is still used in some places around the world and still considered by some as a useful tool.
It's made a comeback. I actually had a friend who went through it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So the doc, I kind of...
And you get killer abs. Or is that something else?
Yeah, no. Not a recommended path. Convulse you.
Got it.
Tighten it up pretty good.
Got it. They do... The documentary follows four women who choose to do ECT therapy. So it should be kind of interesting. And the Frames of Mind series is always followed by a Q&A with... it's put on by the UBC Psychiatric Association or whatever, and they always followed up with a really great Q&A, usually with experts. Cinema Sunday, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. My understanding is this is not a 3D screening. It's a regular 2D screening, but it's the new print, which looks amazing. We screened this.
Is that the one that was at the...
Yeah, we screened this at VIFF a couple of years ago, and it's highly, highly recommended.
Oh, really, this isn't the one from Spark?
No, because the one we did at Spark was 3D.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay,
and
I don't
remember
that.
And this one isn't. It's not a 3D presentation, but it is a new print.
Hooray.
Yeah. And it's an all-ages show, so that's kind of fun. The 7th annual open house, they basically open the theater. You can go in and take a look around, check out the projection room, the bowels. It's kind of fun. And they always follow it up with a free screening. This year's screening is Some Like It Hot, also an all-ages show. And... on June the 18th, I guess this month is National Aboriginal Film Month, so the Cinematheque is hosting a group of shorts they're calling Real Kanata, which is a collection of shorts by Aboriginal filmmakers, screening one night only. Also, all ages welcome. And at the Rio, they haven't really populated their schedule very much yet. But they're running like an Italian movie nights throughout the month of June, including The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Black Sabbath, and Bicycle Thief, among a group of others. They're doing a 40th anniversary screening of Jaws on June the 5th. And they have a couple of nights of Studio Ghibli, and they're showing My Neighbors, The Yamadas, and Spirited Away. That's sort of an ongoing series they've had since May, I think. And that's it. We know what's playing at the
for June. No, but since this might be up in time,
yes, it will.
Be the last Friday of this month, so of last of May, last Friday, midnight screening at the Pitt Meadows Hollywood 3 Cinemas is the original Mad Max. So
sweet,
you can get your big screen Mad Max fix kind of thing after probably coming from the local Cineplex. That was showing Mad Max Fury Road, so you could.
I highly recommend revisiting the old ones.
Yeah, well, damn right, they were quality.
Yeah, they play really, really well.
Thunderdome was a little campy, but you know what? It was still quality. It's still better than a lot of stuff that was coming out at that time.
First Mad Max experience. I think.
It was mine too.
Road Warrior.
Yeah, well, that's sort of the classic, right? But mine was Beyond Thunderdome because I was kind of in that age range. When I saw it, it was fucking Tina Turner. She was like awesome.
Tina Turner, and she was in a scary movie, was my like 7-year-old self.
Yeah. I still, the high heels in
Listen
the desert.
Listen up, Raggedy
still.
Man.
Oh, yeah. No, that movie's pretty great. It plays really well, I think.
Auntie. Is it Auntie?
Auntie. Yeah. Yeah. The names on those movies are the best.
Raggedy Man.
Master Blaster.
Master Blaster.
That's the fucking shit right there. That's the fucking shit right there. And that is June.
That is June.
Done.
Hooray.
That it?
I think so.
Sort of anticlimactic. Kind of feel like there needs to be more. Dun, dun, dun. At this point, it's like Mad Max has come and gone. It totally lived up to expectation. Now, what do I have to get excited
about? There's nothing to live for now.
Pretty much.
Nothing at all.
I'm kind of feeling that way. Like,
now
what is
I just
left?
Want to basically trick out my truck, post-apocalyptic style, like go on rampages.
Spiky cars.
I've been given the bar, and that's the bar I expect the world to be now. So let's get on with the post-apocalyptic, damn it.
Yeah, yeah, just make the apocalypse come now.
Exactly.
Sure.
I have many boxes of K-31 ammunition just rationed away for such a day.
I am so going to Colleen's place. I'm bunkering down with her.
I won't be there, though.
Fuck you. You get away from me.
I have alternate plans.
Whatever. I think I might be able to survive for like 3 hours.
I know my topography of my local areas. I know where I'd go.
I should maybe explore this a little more. I do have like mountains up there.
I'm telling you, man, start making caches. Caches of stuff.
I would never be able to find them again.
GPS.
You just make them a geocache.
Yeah, I should totally geocache like the supplies for later.
I'll make a whole series of them and make them like sort of like post-apocalyptic. It's like, wow, I have toothpaste. Oh, yes. You know,
that would make such a great scene. Someone is like planning for the apocalypse. Has geocached with their GPS, all of this stuff. They have their list.
Except the satellites don't fucking work.
The satellites don't work.
It's like, good luck trying to find that shit.
It's all good. I don't need it. Okay,
this would make a really good post-apocalyptic comedy.
Watch people try to figure out how to use maps.
Yes. Where are we? I can't see the stars.
Who here has topographical maps of most BC?
Whatever. Okay, now you're just showing off.
As I hold up my hand.
I have a proper compass.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't have the map, but I do have the compass.
You're halfway there. You hook up with
Colby. You can make up your own map, so if you have a compass. Start plotting out stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have really the elevation kind of thing, but...
No elevation, but I do have the adjustable degrees.
Exactly.
For, yeah.
Wow. This just got uber geeky.
I even have a Nocturne at home somewhere and an Astrolabe, so I'm all set.
Can I ask you guys a general question, though, before we end this?
Yes, of course.
So, seeing a movie does... Like, if you go to the theater, does the environment that you saw the movie in affect how you like the movie?
100%. 100%.
It's why you don't go to the movies.
It's why I don't go to the theater very often anymore. I hate my local theater so badly that it kills it. I am so angry by the time I sit down that anyone doing anything in that theater pisses me off beyond belief, and it's just destroyed it for me.
I don't have quite that... much hatred for it, but it certainly has affected how often I go to the movies.
The theater is so loud with so many arcades and so much stuff going on. I'm yelling at the person trying to basically sell me a ticket.
Not the going into the theater, because that's just universally annoying. But I mean, like, the sitting down in the theater, like, because I went to see Pitch Perfect on the weekend that it was out. And my screening didn't have a ton of people in it. So I felt like I was the only one laughing at a lot of jokes, which made me feel really self-conscious because I'm sitting in the front by myself.
Well, Sounds perfect to me.
Yeah, like we went to see... I do think that I would have had a different experience watching Mad Max with a crowd of people that actually like appreciated it more than they did. Because I mean, we went on Thursday night and I thought the hardcores are going to be here. Yeah, no. I think I'm pretty certain I was the only one hooting at the screen. Dan thought I was crazy because he always thinks I'm insane anyway, so what does it matter?
Yeah, but he didn't like Sweeney Todd, so what does he know?
But he liked Mad Max enough to see it twice.
Oh, excellent.
So there. So no, but I mean, I think that there is like, and you see movies, like I go to the film festival and you see a movie that works with the crowd, and it certainly, I think, does a lot to up the enjoyment level, but it's just getting the crowd that is acceptable is just too much work.
Film Fest audiences I deal with much better than normal theater going audience, because most of the Film Fest audience, they go there and they turn off their phones and they don't talk to one another and they generally watch the film. Whereas I go
they're
to
just
the Cineplex.
They're just annoying as fuck before and after.
You know,
sorry, it's the truth.
Exactly. No, before and after, they're horrible. But during, they're actually decent. But in the Cineplex, there are people constantly on their phone. There are people making phone calls.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, I am angry theater person. I will fucking kill you.
I know. Exactly.
You will hear from me.
I've had enough experiences like that. The person who basically gets up and goes to the washroom 8 times. So you have to get up out of your seat so that... if it's that much of a problem, maybe sitting in a theater
is not for you.
You should have got early enough to get an aisle in the first place, or just avoid it in general, or get an adult diaper. I don't care. Something. But you're destroying
it for
everyone.
You know what?
Else.
I sat next to somebody, well, two seats over, that was actually taking a dump in their adult diaper. I don't need that in a theater.
That's pretty bad, too. God.
Yeah. No. Like, it was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Never again.
Yeah.
Ever.
So I saw Pitch Perfect, and then I saw Tomorrowland, like, Wednesday, I think. And there were so many children in that theater, and one of them was, I think, two.
Oh, God.
And they let her just wander around with her popcorn.
Take care of your children when you take them to the movies.
And then, but, like, where her mom was sitting, I swear it was about, like, well into the row. So every time the kid came back, just, like, bumped all of her chairs. I was like, really?
Dan jokes that one day I'm gonna get like killed in a theater because I'm the bitch that like call out even the big guy down there. He's like, one of these days, one of those guys is come. Like, let him fucking try.
I had that at a roller derby event in Squamish. The kid's running back and forth in the aisle, and I keep on having to sort of like scoot over to get past. Okay, once or twice, fine. After about the sixth time, like I'm glaring at them.
At the parents.
They're not getting it kind of thing. I finally just yelled at the top of my, sit down, stay still, don't move, or I will kick your fucking ass. And like the parents are like turning around looking at me. They've gone past me 36 times. I can't watch the game because of your little fucking loin dropping. And they're like, okay. And they got up at halftime and they like moved to the other side of the arena.
Good.
Like, good, go bog them.
Go bother somebody
like,
else.
What the hell?
Actually, I think my worst, the most egregious complaint is one that the theaters can actually control. And it's when they put dramas next to the latest fucking blockbuster turned up to 13.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there watching somebody fucking die and there are explosions going on next door that are reverberating through the walls to your seat. And you're like, talk about bad planning. Seriously? Just move the screening. Like you have control over this. You don't have control over a lot, but you do control this.
Do you remember when we went to go see Into the Woods and we sat beside those people who talked the whole time and that guy just yelled randomly?
Yes, 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 yes. There have been some bad experiences.
Although I have to admit the worst was at a film festival. It was the screening of the movie Out Here in Whistler.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
I don't think that's even fair.
We're doing flash selfies in front of the row in front of me
in
like,
the middle of the movie.
Drunk, I can no longer see the
drunk
screen.
People. Oh, so many drunk people.
Oh my God.
This is what happens.
Every time their buddy
when a beer
screen,
company sponsors
a movie and gives you free beer before
in,
and during
in the pre party. Yeah.
The best part of that was the fact that
really
Snow sat down
beer.
Beside you.
Yeah, that's Snow's episode.
Wait, that's Snow.
Snow and Dale's like, who?
I'm like, you look vaguely familiar. And I felt like he was like, you should recognize me, dude.
I got just fucking killed in the movie. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Because you really care about that movie. Yeah.
Well, the thing was, it was not a bad movie. It was kind of a fun little movie for what it was.
The single greatest single product placement shot film in the history of all
what
film.
What movie is this?
The movie Out Here.
It even beats out Coca-Cola Kid because, quite frankly, Coca-Cola Kid did not have nearly as much product placement
as the movie Out Here.
Yes,
exactly. Okay, well, Dan has not seen it yet and he's forgotten it exists. Let us not remind him.
Oh, okay.
Let us not remind him. He's still upset that we saw that without him.
Oh, that was his own damn fault.
It was.
Yeah. No, they did.
Like, do you want a ticket? Oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll get a ticket. Oh, it's sold out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Premier it's like, River.
Yeah. This is the way it works.
He's learned his lesson.
Good.
Anything else before we sort of call it a night? Or a day or an afternoon? I don't even know at this point.
A month? No. Call it a month?
Call it a month.
Month? Sure.
I'm really surprised at the lack of, like, big tentpole pictures
Jurassic,
for June.
Jurassic World is pretty much it.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you count Pixar.
Yeah, that's kind of an event thing for some people.
A bit of an, yeah, but it's not. It's not like the summer blockbuster stream.
Actually, I think the next one for me to get excited about is Mission Impossible.
When is that?
I have no idea. I know it's coming this year. It's Simon Pegg.
There's nothing that really is getting me excited right now. Even Simon Pegg in something. Short of it being like the Cornetto quadrilogy coming out, I'm thinking no. But that's not going to happen, they've said.
Probably not. So.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I don't actually know what else is coming out. Are there any? Oh, well, Ant-Man is left.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic Four is worth getting excited about, I think.
Miles Teller.
Pretty much.
But is Ant-Man in the movie? I have not followed it at all. Is it Harry Pym or is it Scott Lang?
No, it's Scott.
Yes.
Sure, more conversations I can't follow.
That's right. Harold Pym was an asshole. Couldn't even like the underdog kind of aspect of that dude. He was just an ass.
Well, someone did mention something recently that Marvel probably wouldn't make a movie about a wife, like someone who abused their wife.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
He was not a good man.
No, apparently not.
And Scott Lang, at least he's trying and failing constantly, but still trying to be good.
The movie looks fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, like there isn't really Star Wars is like the next like,
yeah,
all-consuming thing.
True enough.
We have a long time to wait. Okay.
Yeah.
We're fading fast.
We are.
So. Come on by row3.com. Check out the links to all the trailers and any reviews you might have up. I don't think we have any for this month, but it is so. QuietEarth.us for all your weird and wacky festival coverage. We do have Cannes coverage. Oh my God. And we're going to have Fantasia coverage this year too. I'm very excited. We have a man on the ground in Montreal.
No. Row 3 has Cannes?
No flats.
QuietEarth.
QuietEarth. Okay.
No flats.
No flats.
In Cannes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
the flat gate. Okay.
Oh, so my favorite news article of the month?
Yes.
Is the ACLU going after Hollywood for...
Thank you.
Like, wow.
Wait,
awesome.
What is this?
The ACLU is going to basically go after Hollywood, or they're investigating going after Hollywood for unfair labor practices against women.
Fantastic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, when I read that, I was like, holy crap, that's awesome. And then it was like, wow, what took you so damn long?
Yeah, exactly, right? It's like, what took so fucking long? I just, at this point, Cannes is really in my bad books. The president of the festival the other day was talking, and I mean, it's translated from the French. I didn't read the original, but it was basically like, well, we're only one festival. And I'm like, okay, lame fucking excuse, because you're the biggest festival.
You're the biggest.
Like,
yeah.
So the buck has to stop somewhere. It needs to stop with you. So don't give me this, we're only one cog. I don't fucking care that you're one cog. You're the biggest cog.
Yeah, you could have the single biggest.
Yeah.
Bang for the
you
action.
Can have the biggest impact, and yeah, you are not doing what you should be doing.
No, yeah, one cares if Lithuania bans like anorexic models. France does it. Everyone sits up and takes notice.
Well, exactly. Yeah. There's a reason for this. So, yeah. I mean, I think it's just terrible, 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 terrible. The guy is just, he needs to move on.
Well, I you know, that is, well, there's a couple of dynamics going on,
yeah,
there, right? Like,
no,
there's a different cultural aesthetic over there, which doesn't translate well over here, I think. And then you have the old dinosaurs are still getting flushed out, and he strikes me as,
yes,
one of
ancient
those
ancient dinosaur that must go extinct.
Dun, da, da, da.
We'll end there. Okay. So yeah, until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Took the path that you would never want for me. I know I let you down tonight. So many sleepless nights where you were waiting up on me. Well, I'm just a slave unto the night. Now remember when I told you that's the last you'll see of me. Remember when I broke you down to tears. I know I took the path that you would never want for me. So I've been my life on you.
truth. There's you in everything I do. Now remember when I told you that's the last you'll see of me. Remember when I broke it down to tears. I know I took the path that you would never want for me. I gave you hell through all the years. So I'm wrong, I've walked that road before and left you on your own. And please believe them when they say that it's left for yesterday and the records that I play. Please forgive me for all I've done. So why?
Are you really filled with horror?
Dude. Whatever. It's like the single greatest thing ever come out of Canada.
No, I thought that was... what was the beach one? Beachcombers. That I remember.
I think it got surpassed.
I don't know the Beachcombers.
Maybe not. Isn't it Nickelback?
Wanted in Australia for crimes against music. That is the greatest thing ever. Dan's like, have you seen this? I'm like, yes, I started the petition that started it all. I didn't really.
Even I know three power chords.
Which is why you should be like bigger than Nickelback.
I am in
if
my
Chad
mind.
If Chad Kruger's hair can pull it off, your
dude,
beautiful
if only
hair
there
could
was
do
a
it.
Market for songs about pancake mistresses.
There
and,
is.
And Mos Eisley SOBs.
Hi, there is.
No.
They're called there geeks, no. And they were all at the Lindsey Stirling concert the other day, which, by the way, was fucking awesome.
Yeah, I saw a lot of posts on that.
It was pretty great.
I had a theory about Nickelback, and so I was really kind of excited when Avril Lavigne started dating Chad Kruger.
And then what happened when they got married?
No, because, like, Avril Lavigne dated the lead singer of Sum 41, and then no one ever heard from that band again. Oh, so then she went on to Nickelback.
It's like she'll
leave,
and then they'll. Well, we haven't heard anything from Nickelback in a long time,
so I'm hoping that actually.
I think
worked.
It worked, except for the fact that they're on tours.
Did anyone go though?
I'm willing to accept them being huge in Asia,
where you never have to hear
exactly.
About them.
Exactly. Oh, if they want to be huge in Asia, I'll give them that. So,
are they huge in Asia though?
Or probably the Germans like them. the Germans apparently like everything.
It's all Germany's fault.
You know what we should have done? Is
David Hasselhoff, baby.
We should have contrived to get them into the Euro Music Contest.
Oh, fuck no. Fuck no.
We are not.
Is already like in the bowels of the earth. Let us not lower it anymore. It was terrible. Mind you, actually, who won? Who ended up? Was it Sweden?
Sweden, I think I heard. Yeah.
Yeah. And that song wasn't bad. Like, we actually watch Eurovision because we're fucking European, and apparently it's in your blood.
Didn't, like, Gwar win that?
No, but it was a death metal band that won it a couple of years ago.
Fantastic.
And the song was pretty good, but as you can tell,
actually,
nobody remembers the name of the band.
Gwar covering Pet Shop Boys
is fucking awesome.
Is incredible.
Yep, I agree. They have a couple of really great covers, and they now have a female in the band. Mm-hmm. Bonus.
Is it Vulva Eris or
yep.
something? Yeah.
Wait, I thought she, like, got kicked out of the band or
has
something.
Has she?
Already?
No, that didn't last long.
I don't know. I thought I read something about that, but I don't know.
I haven't been keeping up with the Gwar updates. I don't know.
Yeah. It's the only GWAR update I've ever seen, so I was...
I'm not big on the GWAR.
It could be important.
They're pretty good live, though. They put on a good show.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah. Are we ready to get this show on the road?
Are we?
Maybe.
I'm already recording. I started recording as soon as Edith...
I recorded when you recorded.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I started recording as soon as Colleen gave me the pouty face over the littlest hobo.
I know that you have this all indexed and categorized, and you're just waiting for the day you need blackmail material on us all, and you're going to have like hours of audio coverage.
You realize that all this blackmail material is at the end of every episode.
Is it? I never listen to them.
I'm never really hoarding anything.
Really?
For the record.
Okay. Yeah. I never, ever, ever, ever listen to
them. If it's really good, it usually ends up at the end of the show. Like you singing is always at the end of the show.
Fantastic.
Just for the record.
So that's why no one likes our show anymore.
Oh, I liked it enough to come on it.
Oh.
We do have listeners.
It's crazy.
More than one. I swear.
It's like
we love each and every one of you.
All of you.
We love all of our children.
57 minus 4. So there's 53 people who have no taste at all and are fans of my band on Facebook. So
that's fantastic.
Whatever. It sounds amazing to me.
Yeah. Oh, were we going to talk about films?
Yeah.